Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no business like show business.
Oh, and away we go.
Hello again, and welcome to the Art and Business of Community Theater presented by Monroe Community Players. Brian, stop mouthing the words along with me. And featuring the Green Room Groupies. Each episode, we discuss issues relevant to the operation of a successful theater, sometimes some other topics, and how to produce theater of the highest quality shows for your audience. Sometimes, I should start this one over because I jumped ahead on my, and sometimes we slip into other topics as well. Well, we'll leave it as is. You know how Green Room conversations go. I'm David War, the de facto leader of our little band. Looking around the Green Room today, I see
Ron you. Roberts.
I see you, Ron.
Oh.
Kathleen McBee. I see.
Robert Yeoman.
Brian Burchard Ross.
And those of you who don't understand the I see you, Ron reference, that's from last episode, I believe. We're taken for task. Be careful what we wish for. We see Ron.
What you wish for, folks.
Hey, before we get started, I have to say a big thank you to those of you out there in Groupie Land. I guess we should come up with a better name for that.
How about Groupie Nation?
The Groupie Nation.
Tangent.
We're so pleased. You're actually, I'm sorry, I just broke my pen. You're actually.
Focus, Dave.
I'm trying to focus. And I shouldn't say actually because this is expected, but yes, you are starting to respond to our pleas to send us letters and emails and talk with us, and we are thrilled. I want to give a shout out to Ken Allum, Allum. He is a gentleman from Tennessee at the Morristown Theater Guild who are celebrating their 90th anniversary.
Ooh.
He told us that he's not on the board, but he certainly appreciates listening to the show and to keep up the good work because he loves the information that we provide. And then we also discovered when we gave him a shout out on Facebook from Patricia Middleton of Kansas. Patricia did not give us her theater group, but she has been faithfully and dutifully listening to all our episodes and going through. And this is what we love. She has been making remarks on our Facebook post so that we can respond to her, and let's get some conversations going over there on Facebook. So thank you very much, Patricia. Yay. A big shout out to both of you, and we hope you enjoy keep enjoying the podcast, and be sure to get out there, tell other people. So we've got a new goal here in the Green Room, and we were starting to hear from a lot of people in a lot of states. So our goal is we'd love to hear from at least one person in each state.
Ooh.
And for extra bonus, each province of Canada.
Oh, and we don't mean states of confusion.
No, territories can count too. So you folks in Guam, you let us know.
And or ships at sea.
Yep, ships at sea.
Ships at sea.
But no, it really does. We get excited to hear that someone else is listening. We see numbers. We know you're out there. But to actually hear from you is something that we really appreciate. And we appreciate you telling people that we're here, enjoying the show, getting other people to listen. I'm no false modesty here, though, but I really think we're the only community theater podcast that's really talking about the issues that are important to community theater. Mm-hmm. There are a few others out there that have been managed to find on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, but they tend to be more about promoting individual shows. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we do a little of that in our conversations, but I think we're the only ones that are really trying to dig deeper into the art and business of community theater. So, so that's what we want to keep doing. We want to keep spreading the love of community theater. Despite our last episode, which if you haven't listened to, about the 10 things I hate about community theater.
That's right.
We really, really do love it. And stay tuned for the next episode, which will be even more controversial than this one, which is probably going to be an interesting conversation today. And I really don't have a lead-in conversation to it. Yes, Brian? Maybe he does. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing hands going up. I feel like I'm teaching a class.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just had a comment that wanted to make sure to say hi to Ken, because I may be down in Morristown in May. My in-laws are actually retired down in Bean Station. So maybe you might get a Green Room groupie visit.
Yes.
That won't be during rehearsals for Steel Magnolias.
No, it's the week after Steel Magnolias goes up.
So in the recovery
Steel Magnolias, phase. Brian, when is that show?
Thanks for asking, Ron. Steel Magnolias, if you're in Steel the Monroe area, will be May 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Mall of Monroe.
Tickets on sale now, monroecommunityplayers.org.
Thanks, Ron. But that's not really what I wanted to mention here. First of all, there's a couple things. The other day, I was actually went down a rabbit hole in YouTube about how to learn lines mm-hmm. for theater.
Oh,
and
for our last episode.
For our last episode. Mm. And this gentleman said there are two types of thought process on this. There is the community theater thought process, which I thought was okay. And then there's the professional thought process. Mm. Now, what he said was that on the one end, the community theater end, the issue that how they do it normally is that they go line by line by line. They learn their lines. When you are working as a professional, whether it be Broadway, movies, TV, whatever, they don't go line to line. They read the script several times over and over to look for the communication. The communication in the scenes are what's more important.
I disagree with the gentleman.
Okay.
I believe one of the first things you do, even before auditioning in community theater, is become acquainted with your script before auditions ever happen. You should be coming into auditions. My mic is being silenced. I will not be silenced. No.
Actually, Bob, we're going the other route. I don't know
and
why.
Also, it should be rehearsed with the French scenes. A French scene starts when a person enters a room and ends when another person enters the room. And that's how you break down the script in scenes. But also, that's just to say that there's a large difference between community theater and professional is not professional. Mm. It should be accepted, and whatever works for you, works for you. Well, if it doesn't work for you, discard it. Take the bits that you can use.
Well, I think part of the difference is between a professional and a community theater person is the community theater person normally has another job. And they're squeezing in all this line learning in between. I did have a comment, too, from that episode. Well, just don't think about you're learning your lines, but do remember you're also learning other people's cues.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that
next.
In mind. Yes, understand how the whole thing comes together.
How it's always, how does this move forward? What happens next? If you get lost, you can be rescued by a cast member or yourself because, oh, she's standing at the umbrella stand. I should have been over here.
Well, I wonder, though, if that's what this person on YouTube was saying. You're looking for what's the communication.
Right.
You're not looking for necessarily the line. You're looking for what are you trying, what part of the story are you trying to say?
Yeah, what is your main purpose on this? I just thought that was interesting.
It's interesting, but it seems a little contrary also to what you had shared earlier about equity and such, where they have to get the lines right.
Yeah.
Well, understand the communication, of course, helps you remember the line,
right?
But you still need to get those exact lines, words.
Right. But maybe that's how, you know, and I mean, I took some acting classes, but I didn't, you know, I never pursued it professionally. But maybe that is part of how their main way of learning those lines is to do the communication first, just read the script over and over and over to understand the beats and then go back and then you start learning those lines a little bit more. Yeah. It's a possibility. The other thing I want to say, and this is a hard one. Ron already knows. For all of you out here, and I probably, this is not the right way of saying this, but for all of you that don't know, I am the president right now of Monroe Community Players, and I am considering running again. The issue now is that I have a lot on my plate, and some things have to go. So today will be my last time here with you guys for doing this. I'll still be editing. I'll still be doing all of that.
Oh, that is a shock.
That is what?
Yeah. Huh. And I just want to say, just so the people out there know, we are recording this on April 1st.
Oh, are you fooling? Are you fooling us? Oh my gosh!
Got him.
And he said he took a few acting classes. Folks, this was bad.
Well, as you know, I will reluctantly accept your resignation.
Because I
hate to hold you back.
Wait, guys.
Hey, somebody says they're leaving.
Guard.
Security. If you said you're leaving, you know,
Mr. Burchett Ross needs to leave now. He did a nice job.
Brian.
Security clearance.
And before I forget, by the way, you'll notice that Carol is not with us today. She did have some family matters to attend to, so we wish her well. She will be back in a couple episodes.
We love you, Carol.
We love you, Carol. Still with us.
Yep, yeah. Still with us. So,
we're a little.
Anyway,
we're
a little.
I stopped worrying as soon as you said you're still doing the editing. So,
I figured you did. It's like, oh, I don't care. About
okay, that. Well, that's fine. That works.
I was looking to see if Ron was in on this.
I didn't
what?
Know.
Yeah.
What?
But I'm glad you pointed out April 1st.
Thank you.
So good. Well, I'm going to switch things up because I think what Brian has just talked about with the Broadway, that actually leads more into what I was going to talk. We were talking about in the next episode, so we might as well just get right into it.
Are we switching episodes?
We're not switching episodes.
We're progressing.
I suppose we could do it either way.
No, I don't.
It depends
care.
How you drop care. Them, right? But about to say, let's start with our discussion. You know, about the love of theater, and you know, where is it best demonstrated? Let's talk a little about the difference between the Broadway, the professional theater, and frankly, the community theater. Mm-hmm. As you know, we keep promoting theater here. We keep talking about community theater. I think an argument can be made that community theater is America's theater. And I would actually hesitate to say is the world's theater. I would not hesitate to say that the world's theater. Whereas a lot of people seem to think that it starts and it ends with Broadway or with a professional. We've touched upon this a little earlier when I was taking my brother to task for his comments about our shows.
One of our more popular, by the way, number wise.
Yeah, number wise. But it's you know, we're talking about some differences here. But I think something that is never really brought up enough is that we do what we do because we love it. Unless things have changed and nobody told us, there are very few people getting actually paid or making a living in community theater. And they tend to be the artistic directors. They tend to be the business managers for a group. Those type of folks behind the scenes. Sometimes directors get paid, but the actors don't. You know, the actors don't, and for a big part of the, you know, a lot of the crew don't get paid. In our group, we are all volunteer. And I imagine with most groups out there, we're all volunteer. A gentleman I knew, Chancey Miller, who was active with Grosse Pointe Theater. I haven't heard about him in years. I do hope he's still well and still with us. But he once had told me, you have to remember the word amateur is not... people use it often in a derogatory way, but it is not. Amateur means you're doing it for the love of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
A professional means you're doing it because you're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people saying, you know, the pinnacle of theater is to get paid for theater. But I'm going to say maybe it's time to flip that thinking on its around and say it's when you're doing it just because you love theater. And let's face it, we would all love these multi-million-dollar budgets that they have on Broadway. I had the good fortune to hear a costumer some years ago speak about the costumes on Wicked. This was hosted by Stagecrafters up in Royal Oak here in Michigan. And he came out and talked about one of the dresses. I think it was actually for Elphaba, which had a lot of, you know, jewels, you know, spangles and stuff on it. Well, apparently it sounded like it was actually jewel encrusted because it was more than $20,000 to create this one dress.
Oh, wow.
That was our entire budget for Mary Poppins. And that included flying her. You know, so it's like none of us have those kind of budgets.
Hmm.
I mean, I think even our largest community theaters, they are not You know, come out and correct me, folks out there that have the big theaters. I'm looking at you, Grand Rapids Civic. But I doubt you're spending $20,000 on any one costume. Now, of course, they can make some of that back because, you know, they're charging tickets. It may be that costume goes on to who knows how many actresses, and it goes on for how many shows. Maybe they use it again in touring companies. I don't know. But my guess is they're actually creating... They may be spending $20,000 on several dresses. Mm-hmm. But if that's there's just the one dress, imagine what their wardrobe cost. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that stuff is made by hand by a customer somewhere. So it's just very expensive.
There's a story about cats. The gentleman who played Mistopheles was upset and took his huge coat, which was the main portion of his costume, and threw it in a bit of pique on the couch, and the costume director stopped him right there. It's like, I don't care about you. You I can replace in 20 seconds. The coat is what's most valuable. Do that again and you will be sued.
Ooh. Not just fired, sued. So that's interesting. I mean, but that's it. So what I'm saying is here on Broadway, the actors are a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
You know, they are the, when Bob made a joke about HR, they have HR.
Mm-hmm.
And partly because the actors are a human resource. I've often teased my cast, you know, come along my biological props. you know, let's do this.
What was Tim saying? Come on, strike it, cattle.
Yeah, cattle. But that, you know, I wonder to what degree that is true in the professional theater. Now, don't get me wrong. I have been paid to do theater. I like getting paid to do theater.
It's nice to get a little check.
It's nice to get a little check. And frankly, when I did professional theater, it was a little check. But it's the kind of thing that it's like, you know, is that really what theater is about? Is it about the big spectacle? Where, frankly, in some of these big musicals, you're going to see the spectacle as much as anything. I made the comment last episode about Hadestown, the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, but that's part of the total experience. Now let's take Hadestown, strip it down to its bare bones, which essentially is what most art theaters will do, is a bare bones production by any Broadway standard.
Mm-hmm.
And can we evoke the same emotions? I say yes.
Mm-hmm. Although I'll go one step farther, and there have been musicals that I've seen where you could strip that music away, and I think the show would be a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago when I went and saw Tootsie. I think it was, Tootsie. The music was all right, but I still hold to this day, if you took that music out and just made it a straight dramedy or comedy, I think it would have sold even better. Mm-hmm. I think the music was a deterrent sometimes.
Well, you know, I've often said that about a show that, by the way, Patricia doesn't like, The Matchmaker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Which is the show, Thornton Wilder's original show that Hello, Dolly! Is based on.
Oh.
I like The Matchmaker better than Hello, Dolly.
Really?
Because the songs, in some ways, interrupt Hello, that's the story. Yeah. Whereas The Matchmaker, they just go right on through.
Yeah.
You know, it's a comedy.
Yeah.
And you know, without having these big introductions, you know, Hello, Dolly, and all that, you get right to the heart of the matter. You get it's a funnier show.
I kind of felt that way about Sister Act. I felt like the songs were stuck in there just because... Each character needed to have their own song.
A signature song.
And yes, and it distracted from the story.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree with you on there. Mm-hmm. And I'm wonder if, although, you know, I didn't, Dave's with Matchmaker is different, but it makes me wonder if maybe it's these newer ones that they're pulling movies from and making them Broadway musicals, that maybe is the maybe part of the problem with that is the fact that we've already seen how good it is without the music. Mm-hmm. So like Dave said with Hello Dolly, it almost feels like it's interrupting the flow of what's going on at that point.
And I would almost say that, you know, they're making some of these musicals because, again, it's a purely financial decision.
Mm-hmm.
Something that Kathleen made a comment last episode. I hate it when it says we're going to make money on this when we say that. Because mm-hmm. that means we've gotten away from our mission. On Broadway, they're saying, can we make money with this?
They have to.
That's exactly what they have to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, it used to be in Broadway, you would go see good straight shows.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, and Brian, you've been there more recently than I have, isn't it almost all musicals?
You have to dig. You have to dig to find a straight show.
Yeah, I mean, and New York, I'm sure, is filled with good professional theater because, absolutely, you know, there's 8 million people living in the city. But I bet you it's also filled with good community theater, too.
I would imagine it is. And one of these days, that's on our bucket list, one of these days is to skip the Broadway and, you know, do that. And even off-Broadway is just a lighter version of Broadway, really.
Right.
I do know there's a theater down, I want to say lower, it's either Lower East Side or it's Lower West Side, I'm not sure one, which it's a beautiful, huge theater. Actually, it's a community center, it takes up the whole block, but there's a huge theater in there that do community theater, and they do a lot of the work. Actually, Lin-Manuel started Hamilton as a work thing there, and the first time it ever was shown in New York City wasn't on Broadway. It was shown in this community theater. I mean, it's big, don't get me wrong, it's you know, it's got a lot of backing money wise but it is community theater, and that's where he, if I got that story right, and if, again, like Dave says, if you're out there and I get it wrong, Lynn, please call me personally. I will be happy to talk to you. Anyway, you know, so yeah, there's a lot of good community theater that, because they're there, has a better chance of getting, you know, possibly put on Broadway.
Yeah.
You know, and also, but yeah.
What isn't a lot of this just semantics? Community, off Broadway, professional, avant-garde, trial out in Boston. All basically saying the same thing, but just different wording for what it is.
Well, I think no. Personally, I think there's a difference because once you start adding those dollar signs to everything, you know, regional theater is different than community theater because regional theater tends to be. I think when people talk about regional theater, I believe they're talking about professional regional theater.
Yeah.
People are being paid
which is not theater. There's not a lot of it out here in what I'd call the hinterlands. You know, not to upset our folks that are away from major metropolitan areas.
No. But the one that always comes to my mind is Stratford.
Yeah.
Chicago.
That's a regional.
Yeah. Well, I think Chicago's regional.
Yeah. That's they have regional theater.
Detroit has regional theater. But you know, I don't think it's really anything we'd call community theater. It's being referred to as regional theater.
Yeah.
And I may be wrong again, you know,
I'm just love to hear that conversation,
but mm-hmm. but the whole tryout, you know, in Boston and Detroit used to be a big tryout town for Broadway.
Really?
Oh yeah, the Fisher, the Needlemeyers.
Oh, okay.
Because they would try them out in Detroit before taking them to their theaters in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, and that's what they always say, you know, will it play in Poughkeepsie?
Poughkeepsie.
Is that the right one?
Will it play in Peoria? Peoria, that's it.
Yeah, will it play in Peoria, which they were using, which frankly is pretty close to Chicago these days.
I was going to say, isn't that Wisconsin?
No, it's Chicago, I believe.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Peoria, Illinois, I should say.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not in Chicago, but I imagine nowadays it would be part of...
It's real close.
I'd have to get my atlas out, but I think it's part of Chicagoland,
yeah.
What they call. But yeah, they were using that as Middle America. You know, if it doesn't play in Middle America, okay. we can't bring it into Broadway.
Yeah,
because Broadway is probably as many people on there in their audiences are tourists as much as anything.
Yeah.
Now I'd love to see the numbers. How many people are actually New Yorkers that are going to Broadway now?
Yeah. Yes,
I'm sure they probably put that on the Tony Awards somewhere. they always have statistics everywhere.
Well, and no doubt there are people who don't miss a Broadway opening.
Sure.
Normally the critics.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But for example, you know, the theater, I think you're still seeing the real dramas in Broadway, and this could be a miss. Maybe I'm, this is my impression. I'll say these are my impressions. You know, they bring back To Kill a Mockingbird. Mm-hmm. Tremendous show.
Mm-hmm.
Great show. Love the book, everything. But it's an old show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't bring back the newest drama to put that front and center on Broadway. They brought in the old tried and true and did a revival. Yeah. A lot of revivals going on nowadays.
There is. And in fact, if...
And that's a financial decision.
Looking, now that you mention that, looking back on everything in the last 25 years that my husband and I went and seen on Broadway, and most of it has been, I'd say 85 to 90% of it was musicals, we have seen some straight shows. But every straight show we saw had was a revival, the LB show with Glenn Close and, and John, whatever his name was, Lithgow. That was an old 60s show, which felt dated. Then we saw Boys in the Band with Jim Parsons, and that was a 70s.
Yep.
Show originally.
I remember when that was a hot show in community theater.
Mm-hmm. And then what was it? What's I'm trying to think some of the other ones. Well, the play that almost killed me.
Oh, now that's an unusual thing though, because the way that started, I think, because that started, I believe, in the United Kingdom.
It did. I think you're right.
You know, and made its way over here. But of course, the West End, I imagine, is very similar to Broadway in the sense that they're doing mostly musicals, except they did the Agatha Christie that you saw.
The Witness for the Prosecution, yeah.
And sorry, I lost which show we were talking about.
We're talking about the straight
show. The play that goes wrong.
The play that goes wrong.
The play that goes wrong.
The play that goes wrong. That's what, the one that nearly killed me off, probably. And then the only
he's
other
nearly
one
nearly killed many an actor in community.
Yeah, like, yeah,
well, that's limited. What?
And then Act of God was the other one that we saw. And again, that was a Jim Parsons thing. So, and all were really good. Well, I didn't care. I can't think of the LB one now. That one just felt so dated. But the rest of them really good with an all, you know, with all star cast. I think that's what Broadway does more with their straight shows now than anything. Is if they're going to get a straight show, it's, you're right. It's, and then there are new shows that are being put on Broadway. Don't get me wrong. I've seen them, straight shows. But those revivals are bigger because there is the name and because they bring in celebrities to pump those up. And I'm sure there's celebrities out there that want, there's, you know, prime roles that celebrities would love to do on Broadway. Yeah. So they're going to take them.
And like I say, these are my impressions because simply, you know, my subscription to the New Yorker expired some decades ago. I used to subscribe mostly for the cartoons.
You try to make this funny.
Yeah. actually, it was an English professor who encouraged us to do it because the writing is top notch in the New Yorker. But the reality is that, you know, so I'm not seeing the Broadway stuff like I used to. And I know there's a ton of theater in New York, but some of our impressions are clouded because we see what's touring.
Right.
You know, we aren't seeing all the first runs here in our region. We're seeing what's coming through. And most of that happens to be musicals.
Sure.
But I know, I believe in Detroit, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me, well, geez, this is the second or third time I think that's come through in the past 20 years.
Yeah. Back in the day. Well, go ahead.
I wonder if they're just trying to tweak the script because there was some controversy over the current version of To Kill a Mockingbird basically made Atticus Finch seem more like a racist. And that was a stumbling block with people going, this ain't the To Kill a Mockingbird that I know.
That's interesting.
I hadn't heard that.
No, I hadn't heard that either. But anyway, so, like I said, maybe this is a dead-end conversation because I've been doing most of the conversing.
Well, we talk a lot about the perception of community theater in the outside world. And there was a tweet, I don't even know if that's the right word anymore, that came across my timeline on X. There we go. from involved in the baseball world. So Ken Rosenthal is a big writer. And they were talking, this was during spring training, when Blake Snell, who was a former Cy Young winner, I'm getting to a point here, had not signed with a new contract. And he was did a throwing session for scouts, okay? And Ken Rosenthal's comment was, my goodness, that's like Tom Cruise having to audition for a community theater show.
Yeah.
And it was like this, like, wow. And I mean, he got some backlash from people in his timeline, but I'm like, that just kind of shows you where people, but if people that aren't involved in the, I wouldn't say Rosenthal, maybe he is a community theater aficionado, but I don't think he is. But it just shows you that what that means,
that
term community theater still is a kind of a backhanded,
right,
you know, look for people. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It shows you what people think of community theater. Yeah.
Well, and frankly, it shows some, like say, some ignorance. I don't know if Tom Cruise could get cast in a community theater. One, he might sell tickets, but he's a movie star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he know how
and
to do
it? And movies and theater are two very different animals.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. For an actor.
Very much so.
You know, when you get down to it, you know, movies is it's a different, you know, they're both work,
mm-hmm.
but movies are done entirely differently.
You can only run so far on a stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so interesting sometimes when I'm watching a movie and I'm like, I realize that the actors and the people participating in this have no idea what the final product's going to look like.
Yes.
I mean, it's shot exactly. out of order. It's shot on different sure. days. It's and
computer
maybe
graphics.
Some, yeah. And
just look at the big orange ball as we move down. That's your outline. Line.
But yeah. Sometimes it makes it to the movie theater and I see it and I'm like, really?
Why did nobody catch this?
Why? Yeah. This is it? I mean, yeah. This is the end product? And we
got paid.
Yeah, we have a totally different experience with community theater.
Sure.
And I think it's that live connection. Mm-hmm. I think it's that yeah. community connection.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the comment Dave made after we did Becky's New Car and we were all at a semi-cast party and there were some people that had seen the show and they were like, oh, I feel like I'm, you know, with a bunch of movie stars or, you know, people that just got to see the show and then got to see the actors as people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a connection, you know, with people.
Right.
Not to play devil's advocate, I think we've all been in the audience somewhere and been like, how did they not catch that?
Yes. Yeah.
True.
That's true.
Or that movie star is acting like a piece of cardboard up there. Why did they cast him? Oh, that's
where right. is HR?
His name is Broderick.
And speaking of that, I also had another thought. I'm going back to Kathleen's comment with the party kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the idea for the episode, because I know lots of you are looking for the ideas and information. Consider having an afterglow. You know, so for an extra ticket, an afterglow with your actors,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and I was thinking that's something perhaps we and players should even consider. It's like, you know, maybe it's $15 a regular ticket, $20, you get to stick around for an afterglow with the cast.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to be a little hour, a little wine and cheese party or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But that's something I think, I believe we used to do it. I know other theaters do it. But if you haven't done something like that, folks, consider that.
Yeah, try it.
Because again, as we pointed out in an earlier episode, don't forget the magic of just being you,
mm-hmm.
and which is what Kathleen was getting at, the magic, you know.
Because you're smart enough.
You're good enough.
You're good enough. And gosh darn it, people like you. please go on to Facebook and tell us where that's from.
I don't want to feel that old.
Oh,
I kind of like to do, since this is our topic, a little bit of a pushback on the original hypothesis of this.
Okay.
Is community theater the heart of theater compared to Broadway?
The heart.
The heart, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I'm approaching it the wrong way, but...
No, I like the way you're going at it. The heart.
The heart.
We've already discussed that, you know, this group gets paid, this group is traveling over middle America.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are doing it for pure love of doing it, love of it.
Mm-hmm. But I think that is also on Broadway as well. Mm-hmm. I do think the people that, I think there are a few that may go in there thinking, I just don't think I have anything else I can do in life, so I'm going to be an actor and try to make money out of this. And I think that is everywhere in any kind of thing, movies or whatever. I mean, you know, hey, Cruise.
In just life.
And in life, yeah, exactly.
The 6 foot two blonde guy has got it over the 4 foot four, 385 pound schmuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
the good looking ones are going to get the breaks.
Yes.
That's what I've always felt. I realize that I've been.
The world's longest setup for a joke destroyed.
I realize that I'm a very fortunate person.
But I do think that you're selling that not you in particular, but we may be selling the people that work on Broadway
short
because there's a reason why there have been. Since Broadway started, and will always be 18, 19, 20 year olds who shuck it all and move to New York because they have a dream, whether it be part of a stage crew or whether it be, you know, everybody has the dream they want to be the last one to take a curtain call. But the idea that they just want to be part of that.
Yeah. And I certainly don't want to discourage people who have that dream and going out to do it because, you know, the new Broadway stars come from somewhere.
Sure.
And frankly, like I say, if I could have done it, I think I might, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's the end of that joke? What? And leave show business?
Yeah, the guy who's cleaning up the elephant dung.
Yeah.
Why, if you hate this job so much, why do you? We give up show business?
Yeah.
It's an old joke, but a truism.
And that's the thing. But, you know, I think, yeah, most of the people going to Broad, you know, I think most of the folks that are going to New York City to make it big on Broadway, they're not necessarily doing it purely for the money.
Right.
They're doing it, I would argue they may not be doing it for the love of theater.
Love of themselves?
No. I think they're...
It goes back to the whole idea that you can't hate the person for the gig that they have. I worked with a guy
that's true.
Who was a drummer in a small band.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, man, he's like, I can't be mad at Keith Moon. I can't be mad at Charlie Watts or Ringo Starr because that's the gig they got. That's just what happens. And I think that we do sometimes get jaded, and once people hit a certain level, we just think, oh, they're just doing it for the paycheck. So I think at some point that may be true for people. And I know, like, in the world of professional athletes, that a lot of people think that. But deep down, you know, whoever is starring in the biggest Broadway show right now, there's a reason that they're still doing it. Because it's a job. Even though they love it.
And this man has said himself, I don't know if I could do...
Right.
Eight shows a week or so seven shows a week.
I think there has to be some type of motivation.
Whether they're doing like eight shows a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a grind.
Sure.
There has to be another motivation.
If it's the word, you get docked.
And I think when we start to quantify whether it's the love of theater, we try to put a number on, well, I love it more than you do because I'm toiling away in Monroe and I'm not making, you know, money on Broadway. That's where we become I won't say the word because then it turns into our next episode. But when we start to be gatekeepers almost, to where, well, you know, I love theater more than you, but you just got the break because you're on Broadway. Well, no, there's a reason, not just because, you know, maybe you look better and you act better. But I think that there's more layers to it. And I think when we say they're not doing it for the love of theater, isn't necessarily true. It may be true for some, but I don't think it is for everybody.
I agree.
It's a scale.
Well, it may not be a scale. So I think what we're hearing now is there's room for all of us.
I mean,
diversity.
I have a perfect analogy, but that might go down another completely different road. It's the world of professional wrestling, real quick.
All right? Okay.
So you've got your three main promotions. That's what you want to get to. That's your goal, to be on TV every week. You make all this money. You do everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got all these independent promotions around the country that strive to get there. But according to fans, it's the people in the independents that love it more because they're doing it because there's only 50 people watching and they're not getting paid the hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it. But so it discounts those people that are on TV that have given their lives and dedication to get to where they are and put that into their craft. And sure, they're making money and they're doing more than what they can do. Doesn't mean they don't love it as much as somebody else who's doing it in a bingo hall. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where, as audience members and as people involved in organizations, we have to make sure that we don't become that gatekeeper and say, well, you like it, but.
I think you might have a line there, and not the actors, but maybe the bureaucracy. behind Broadway. I mean, that might be where you cross into. There's got to be a line there. I mean, these people are business people, you know. Got to make money. Got to please the investors. Got to keep the lights on.
There's a method that's been used for God knows how long, and it works, and the producers know how to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
After that, it spins out through the web.
Which is why we get shows like An Officer and a Gentleman.
Well, it's no Lovers Part 2.
Yeah. But I do think Ron's right. And I think you can see that not only on Broadway, I think there are celebrities in every field that are that way. I think let's take some of our more A-list celebrities of Hollywood. I think you've got a Tom Cruise, and this is just my opinion, folks out there who might like Mr. Short Little Dude, but I know. But you've got Tom Cruise out there that's like, listen, I've got to be this and only this and macho because this is how I make my money. Not that he might not enjoy jumping off of cliffs every 20 days. That's his, to me, that's what he is. Then you've got a Tom Hanks that looks at a role and goes, this lawyer who's dying of AIDS. This guy that is stuck on an island all by himself I think he sees a challenge in the acting itself. So he's got that love of acting, that love of, I want to see what I can do with this part. How can I create this? How can I get into this role? You know what I'm saying? So I think there is a little bit of, I never know with you, Dave. You just stare at me like...
Just ignore it.
But I do think, and I think it's the same with theater. I think Broadway or not Broadway, there are people that just love the theater.
And those are probably the people that we never see their names.
Mm-hmm.
They're in that little scroll of all the tiny little
print. I'm not sure.
They're the linchpins to every single show. And
linchpin, I'll give you.
Yeah.
Linchpin. But I think, you know, I have sat there and watched live interviews. I've been in Chicago with Adele Manzina. No.
Sit that.
Sorry, I just drawn John Travolta on that, didn't I? Adina Menzel. sorry, Adina.
Adele Manzina.
Listen, Adina, if call me, okay? But...
That's Brian's new catchphrase.
Just call me, Adina. Call me.
We'll do cheesecake.
We'll do cheesecakes. But I do. I think she got into it because of the love of it, and I think that now she's just part of more of the higher up of the machine at this point. But I do think Adina has a love of theater,
and just her instrument with her voice catapults her.
Oh my God! Listening to her, I mean. Oh, when we went and saw, what is that I saw? Gutenberg. When she came out at the very, very end and just belted out two notes, the whole audience just went nuts because she's got the voice and she's, you know.
You're going to pay for it.
Well, actually, that was a surprise. So I don't think we actually paid for that. We paid for the other two actors. But yeah, it's so I that's the only pushback I have is I don't think because you're on Broadway, the love goes away, or that there isn't. Although maybe there are people out there that are working Broadway, going, God, why am I doing this still?
You never know. Be out west doing films with that short guy.
But I'm stuck with Broderick here as a cardboard.
Definitely, the grind on Broadway has to be harder than doing movies.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it depends on the movie. Now I heard how they did The Deer Hunter. And I don't think I would want to be actually slogging my way through Vietnam. You know, and we'll ask Dave when Vietnam Dave comes back. Yeah, but Vietnam Dave. But we still got Alaska Dave right now. But I think there may be movies where you have, you know.
Yeah, but the movie has.
But you can
for the most
pause
part. It's a set schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're going to start filming on this date, and you're going to stop filming on this date, and you're done. Broadway, you hope that it's going to go on for a year, 2 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
They might get rid of you after 24 minutes, but your standard contract is between 5 to 7 years.
Wow.
And you know,
that's a lot long time to do the same show.
Yeah.
If it gets picked up.
And that to me is one of the other differences that why I don't think you should discount community theater. I mean, the reality is not everybody's going to get to Broadway. Not everyone's going to get to professional theater. Actors are the most unemployed people because there's a lot more people who want to be actors than there are jobs.
Sure.
But with community theater, you always should have a home.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's plenty of community theaters out there.
Mm-hmm.
So when it does come time to say, yeah, I'm just not going to make it, there is some place where you can still, you know, scratch your theater or scratch that itch for theater.
Sure.
And now I've totally forgotten where I was going. I've but you know, this is the kind of thing that, so you do hang on to it. And maybe some people do get jaded. But the reality is there's a place for you somewhere in theater.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where I was hoping we'd get to, is don't discount community theater.
Absolutely not.
We don't need to discount Broadway.
Yeah.
We all love theater, and that's what's important. And I think we just have to remember that. So,
So
those of you who have been writing in wondering why we're doing Broadway reviews.
Gotta go somewhere.
Hey, it's been a while.
Because we all love theater.
We all love theater.
We all love theater. Yeah, no one's been writing in about that.
I will tell you, though, I think for me, even thinking about it when I was younger, as much as I love theater, and there is nothing, like Kathleen said, it's that instant connection with the audience and all that. If I had my druthers, if a career in acting, anything I could do, my perfect dream job would be doing a TV sitcom for about 10 years, like Cheer, an ensemble, not a good Frasier. Well, yeah, an ensemble piece like Cheers or Mary Tyler Moore Show or Friends or, you know, a Big Bang, you know, something like that where you got 10 solid years that you can build those characters, you got a following.
Oh, go ahead. I have a query for you.
And that was it. That was
okay. Okay. So you have that as a career, or you're Ann Archer and you're smart, and you took a percentage of the box office from Fatal Attraction
instead of a
salary.
Somebody else did.
But see, now you're talking money.
But from a career standpoint, then you're able to do whatever
she can do. Whatever she wants.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
What was it?
But I'm looking at it as just the actor. And for me, it's like, as much as I would love to do, I mean, I would love to be on Broadway, and David would love for me to sign a contract for 8 years doing the same role over and over and over, because he'd be like, you just keep bringing in the money and I'll see you when the lights go out. But, but anyway, but in the end, a sitcom.
Posse.
Yeah, and I'm with you, because you get to do the same character, granted, but you get to do a new script every week.
Yes, yes, and the character has a chance to grow and evolve. Absolutely.
I think I'm a little bit tainted, because when I was in college, I worked for Cedar Point, and it was in foods, but we were right up against the live entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw them when they came in. There was a quartet with one woman singer, Lusty Lil. The first month, everybody is high energy. Let's go. God, this is good. Yes. By the end of the summer, yeah. Can you give me a ride out of here? My garbage bag is my luggage. Just, it's one of those, it jades you from, you saw them so high energy and they're really wonderful people. If you know any people from that used to be in Cedar Point Entertainment Services, God bless you.
Yeah. Well, and that, I think I've mentioned before on the podcast, the conversation I had with a professional actor about, I said, I don't know how you can do the same characters for so long. And she turned to me and said, I don't know how you can do a character for just 1 week.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. How do you really understand the character if you're only doing it for three shows?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, she felt that it took several weeks just to really understand the character.
Yeah. And I know I've said, and I remember you saying it, and I know my response to that was Time stands still. Darn it, I'll never get that. But that's how I felt with Time Stands Still, because every night that I played that character, I felt like I learned something else, and it just... I could have done another 2-3 weeks, and I think I would have actually done it right.
I felt that way about Becky's new car.
Yeah.
When the weekend was over with, I was like, I know I could have taken this farther. There was things I picked up on or feedback I got that I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. There are moments in there, and there are moments, I think, when you're on stage, even during all the rehearsals and all that, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of the show itself, and you hear something that you've heard over and over and over, and all of a sudden you go, oh, you know what?
Oh, duh.
I could have played off of that this way instead, and that would have made made it totally different.
And it happens like in a flash in your head.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not where we are, and why is everybody looking at me?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Then you realize you're in the white room.
Yep.
And there we go. We just went back. Different episodes. Little throwback.
Just a little one. And, you know, though I think we can all agree, you know, with this just wrap up this discussion on Broadway.
Okay.
Is that it would have been better.
Oh, God. Here we go.
If I had played.
Here we go.
Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah.
Right. You know what, Dave?
gotta get it in. I'm sorry. You know, there was something else I had been thinking about. Looking back at different shows that I've been in over and over, and it's like, you know, I've actually played other parts more than I've played Daddy Warbucks. So I'll have to bring those out and maybe start it.
You know,
I need a new running gag. It's been going on for about 3 years now.
Honestly, Dave, I would have agreed with you until I saw Harry Connick Jr. do it. And then it's like, I don't know if anybody.
Blasphemer.
I'm sorry. No, you're better than Harry. He isn't. Call me Harry. We'll talk.
Well, we are both tall and good looking.
Oh, you do have that.
Did we tell everybody it's April 1st?
Yeah. Beautiful people have a burden to bear.
Ron just put his head down. He's weeping.
Hey. So, I think looks like we may be just about out of time for this episode. I know it always seems so abrupt when I say that, but we may have a few extra minutes, but we'll give you some time back today. Go off. Unfortunately, this will be recording probably after the eclipse.
Yeah.
And just Michael in Wisconsin, that's the real reason we didn't come see your production this week. I was afraid I'd get stuck in traffic trying to come home. Because we're just outside of the path of totality, but we're looking forward to it.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens there. But I hope they had a good run up at Vintage Theater in Wisconsin, which again, you know, they're doing some interesting stuff, and I think that's the thing. You don't discount community theater either, because I think that's where a lot of the real interesting stuff may be happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You
know, because again, even though there is a little bit of will it sell, I think that's where some of the experimentation's going on.
Yeah.
That you're not going to see in the big Broadway theaters.
Right.
I don't know about all the little Broadway theaters, if there is such a thing anymore.
And I do think that you can find just as talented of an actor in a community theater group that you can on Broadway. And sometimes, and I'm not saying any names, Broderick, even better. That's a running gag. That's probably
That's a good one. I don't know. I don't know if someone out there liked it.
Yeah.
But it does look like we're out of time for this episode.
It wasn't his wife.
He's talking about you again, Matthew.
Yeah. Probably says the same thing every night. Bad, you're like cardboard.
There it is. Now we're getting sued.
Just give us a call, Matthew. I'd like to thank each and every one of you out there for listening. Yeah, Brian is saying, don't give me a call. I'll take your call.
Lumbar are calling for you.
Before we go.
Yes.
I'd like to bring something up to those out there, just in case. And this is more of a technical thing. Where we do this show, and I didn't know if you were going to do it or not.
Yes, it's on my list.
Oh, go ahead then. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take that
from you. Well, I was going to say, the studio that we are currently recording in is about to undergo a move. It's going to be moved to a new location. So we may be a little off in our normal schedule.
Mm-hmm.
We normally do about two a month. This month in April, when we are recording this, actually has a third Monday in it that we could release to it. However, we may be missing for a week or so, if you're listening to this now, as we settle into our new digs. But just so you understand, that's what's going on. It's not because we're gone away.
Yeah.
Knock wood. It is because our facility is going away for a short time. But we are going to get work to get back on the air as quickly as possible once everything is reinstalled.
Mm-hmm.
But that is something, yes, I did want to make sure to bring up.
Okay. So,
is that what you were going to say?
Yeah. Yeah, that there's a possibility that if we do disappear for just a touch longer than what you're expecting, don't panic. The groupies are still around and they'll still be back. And then who knows? We may even be in a whole different
environment
by the time we get back. Something a little different.
We do appreciate the support that you not only give us, but that you keep giving your communities to keep theater alive. We also appreciate feedback and conversation, as we talked about at the beginning of this episode. So be sure to visit our Facebook page for more fun. Look at the Monroe Community. Look for the Monroe Community Players podcast. I don't know how you're going to edit that, Brian. Look for the Monroe
either.
Community Players podcast. Emails may be sent to mcppodcast@monroecommunityplayers.org. And keep up with the latest shows and activities of MCP. Go to monroecommunityplayers.org. We generally release 2 episodes a month. Please take a moment to subscribe, like, rate, whatever it takes just to help us spread the word that we are here. Even just listening really helps us. And the art and business of a community theater is presented by the Monroe Community Players, recorded at the Monroe Public Access Podcast Studio, high atop the Benish Building in historic Monroe, Michigan. And once again, for the love of theater, we are the groupies, and we will see you
In the green room.
Green room.
That was exciting.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven.